Us today. We're glad that you're here. Thank you to each one who has shared in different ways. We had people share their gifts of baking. Yeah, did you have an Easter bread with a cross on it this morning? Wasn't that nice to have that little hot cross bun? Thank you very much for those that made those and for the children singing and just for leading us in song. And at the end of our service, we have some special guests here that are visiting some of the team members here, and they're going to also get involved at the end. Play a little bit for us. A couple weeks ago, one of my daughters... Oh, I left my Bible down here. That's terrible. Excuse me. Can I have that? Thank you. A couple weeks ago, got so excited, left the most important thing down there. What did I say? A couple weeks ago, one of my daughters phoned me at 7:30 in the morning. That's unusual. That's really unusual. And she was on the other end, and she was very excited, okay? This child is not like their father at all, okay? Just a second here. Let me repeat the conversation. I pick up the phone, go, hello? Well, not like that, but, you know, I have my phone out. Hello? Actually, I put on speakerphone just because Faith was there, too. So, hello? I just went $200! I'm so excited! What? She said it again. I just won $200! I'm so excited! She had pulled over on the side of the highway to call us because she couldn't get a hold of her husband to tell her she just won a radio contest and won $200. She said, I'm so excited, I just had to tell somebody. Mom and Dad were somebody that day. That's all right. I'm sure when you watch that video that we just previously watched, it made you smile because you could relate to at least one of those scenarios from the video. Or you could probably, if I asked you, have a different story that you could share that you were excited about that you shared with somebody. I don't need to explain something that you already understand, and that's this. Good news is meant to be shared. That's just the nature of it. You want to share it. The video ended drawing our attention to the significance of our celebration today. What's called Easter, although many people who call it Easter don't understand what it is because they have a different term for it, we call it Resurrection Sunday. Because this is a significant day. Good news. And it's meant to be shared. Out of breath from sprinting to where Jesus' disciples were hunkered down and trying to regroup from his death just 3 days earlier, Mary blurts out, "The stone is rolled away. A man was there who said to me, 'He's not here. He's risen just as he said he would.'" This group of people had previously spent better part of 3 years together, day and night, 3 years. They'd spent that time with Jesus, and they saw him do incredible things. They saw him demonstrate powerful authority over sickness with his spoken word and his touch, over evil spirits commanding them to leave, over nature speaking it to silence and calmness, and to multiply from a little bit of bread into feeding thousands. And they heard him over and over again describe what it means to know and follow God. But these friends, 3 years later and 3 days later, are completely paralyzed by his death. They had no idea what to do now that Jesus was dead. But the good news that Jesus was alive changed everything. It changed everything for them. And the accounts of the times that they saw him and touched him and were with him were testimonies to others. These people weren't making this up. If they were, they were crazy. And if they're willing to give their lives for a fabricated lie, they were nuts. But it wasn't that way. It was real. Jesus was alive. And the book of Acts, a book in the Bible, right after the accounts of the gospel stories of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, the book of Acts goes through describing all the change that actually took place in their lives, and because of that, how it changed other lives. They had confidence because of what they had seen. They had boldness based upon the resurrection power. They had clarity in their teaching because the resurrection validated everything Jesus had said to them. In the opening words of the book of Acts, Jesus said to them in Acts 1 verse 8, "You will be my witnesses." And they would be witnesses of what? That he is alive. That he's alive. And so, throughout the book of Acts, you read some of these accounts. When they spoke to the crowds of people and religious leaders, they literally called themselves, "We're witnesses." But specifically, we're witnesses that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead. Let me read some of these to you. Acts 2:32. This Jesus, this is Peter speaking to a crowd of people. This Jesus, God raised up. And of that, we are all witnesses. We saw him ourselves. We saw the scars. We touched him. We were with him for many days. Later in chapter 3, they're speaking again to a group. And it says in chapter 3, 15, "The author of life, whom God raised from the dead, to this we are witnesses." And then later in chapter 13, it was the Apostle Paul who spoke. He appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. He appeared after his death and his resurrection, who are now his witnesses to the people. You see, they didn't keep it to themselves. We saw it, we share it. It has changed our lives. He will change your life. This past winter, a couple from our church invited some friends. They invited some of their neighborhood friends to spend an evening a week for 10 weeks. 10 weeks. They invited them to come over, coffee and eat and to visit, but also to study and to discover who Jesus is and why he came and what's our response to be toward him. It was a privilege for me to be asked to lead this discovery of the good news of Jesus with them. And in one of those sessions, we spent our time talking from the Gospel of Mark about the resurrection and the significance of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Jesus knew why he had come. That we celebrate so much Christmas. Man, that's great that he came. Don't get that wrong. But without Easter, you got nothing. He knew why he came, and he explained it very clearly. Three times in the Gospel of Mark, which we read through together over those weeks, Jesus is recorded predicting his death and that he would rise again. Listen to these words from Mark 8, 31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." He said this long before it happened. Knew what he came to do and what would happen. Chapter 9, verse 31. "And when he is killed," Jesus was telling his disciples, "after 3 days, he will rise." And then in chapter 10, verse 33 and 34, he says it one more time to his friends, his disciples. "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, I will rise." See, this good news that we talk about, this glorious story that Jesus came and we sang about what he'd done for us, and we sang about that together. The good news begins with bad news. It's bad news story. We're what the Bible calls, well, the Bible calls us sinners. I didn't make that up. Some TV evangelist didn't make that up. We're called sinners. A sinner means we are short of the mark. It's actually a term used for archery when you're going to aim your arrow. I've said this before, and you shoot and you miss the target. You've missed the target. You are fallen short. You are not in right relationship with God. We're spiritually lost people, and we're in need of rescuing. We see that in all our lives. We see it in our actions. We see it in just the ways we react to things and what we think about and how we feel guilty about the things that are going on. That is the presence of sin in our hearts. But the good news is that Jesus came to die for us, for sinners. That's why he came. Our Creator came for us. He died to pay for sin, and he rose from death to prove that sin was truly paid for. He paid it. I mean, someone, I can die for you. I can actually, if you're drowning and I can save your life, you can have your life, but I'm dead and that's the end of it. And then you'll end up dying still someday. But Jesus didn't just die. He rose again so that death is not the end. By putting our trust in Jesus, we read that our sin will be completely forgiven and will be given life in him. We live as followers of Christ with life in us. A different kind of life, not just the physical air that we breathe, but the newness that comes in walking in the power of the Spirit, that we're aware that Christ is present and he's working through us to share his love with others. Now, I realize that there may be someone here today who has never heard this or who finds what I'm sharing unsettling or confusing or ridiculous. I understand that because until you come to a place in your life where you realize you actually are in despair and you are in need and you are helpless, you will not realize how much you need someone who will rescue from that. Doesn't mean your life will be perfect. But even for those of us who walk with Christ, even to this day, I would think you would agree with me that even when you fail, you recognize that there still is direction and guidance and there is hope. You're not lost in your failures. You're not lost in them. I wanted to just take a couple minutes to conclude by reflecting on what Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account of the crucifixion says. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are gospels. They're the accounts of Jesus' life. And they record his words, they record his actions, and they record what happened to him. But specifically, they're details about what took place that day that we focused on Friday, Good Friday, his death, the suffering on the cross. There's a reaction there that the writers talk about that helps me understand the significance of this death and the importance of his resurrection, why we study this and why we focus on this today. See, this cross, this nice-looking cross that we have here, and by size it would be pretty small because it couldn't hold an individual on it. But the Romans used the cross as a form of public execution. We use, in our world today, I mean, some countries still use some pretty primitive methods. We have some pretty primitive methods of taking people's lives too. But this was their form of execution. You were stripped naked. Pretty humiliating in your dying hours to be stripped naked. Your hands and feet are nailed to that cross, between the bones so that it can lodge there. Sometimes they tie your arms on so it wouldn't rip through. Your feet are nailed together through the feet so that they stick there. And you're hung in such a way that you're hanging down so that your shoulders are higher because then it inhibits your breathing. So that in order to breathe, you have to push up on that nail on your foot so that you can get air into your body, into your lungs again for the next time. What it is it's a slow process of suffocation. It's a very cruel death. and you're there publicly naked in front of the people who come and watch this. People watched this and saw it. Have you ever heard of the phrase, kick them while they're down? Right? You know what that means. In a humorous way, I guess that would be when my sports team is getting beat really bad and people laugh at me. You know, kick them while they're down. That's a lighthearted way. But this is a very serious way. At least that's what we read many people did here at the cross. If you go into the Gospel of Matthew and you read in chapter 27, near the end, it says the public, people came walking by. And they made fun of Jesus, and this is what it's recorded they said. They came up to him. He can't do anything. He's suffocating. Save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Religious leaders, it says, laughed at him in a contemptuous way. And in that same passage, they said in front of him to others, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Because they didn't believe in him. Come on down. You're such a failure. You go to Luke's gospel, and you go to chapter 23, and you read there, it says, the soldiers who were in charge of the execution, they piped in as well. If you are the King of the Jews, because they had to put that on his sign, it's a form of mockery. They said, save yourself, as they were rolling dice to take his clothes. And even one of the two criminals that hung on either side of him, Luke's gospel says he railed at him. That was the word it uses. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. And there he is on the cross that he said that he knew that he was going to. And as they were nailing the nails into his hands, he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And as they dropped the cross in, and he was going through that 6 hours of agony till his death, to them, Jesus failed. Because unless he could somehow get off of that cross, he was nothing but a hopeless and pathetic loser. That's how he's portrayed. You know, this whole thing, there's in the Gospel of John, one of Jesus' followers is said to have watched this all unfold. All the rest of them fled, but this one stayed close to Jesus' mother throughout that time. It was John. And you know, he's there, but literally the night before this, on the night when 1,000 soldiers came into this garden, talk about overkill. 1,000 soldiers to come and arrest Jesus. What has he got, a bazooka? He got nothing. But they came there with 1,000 soldiers to arrest him. John heard Jesus say that if he wanted to, because his disciples grabbed a sword and wanted to start fighting these people. He says, put it away. If I wanted to, I could call down an army from heaven to rescue me. He said that, and John heard that. And I wonder, was John thinking, as he watched them rail at Jesus on the cross, Jesus, why don't you do that now? Why don't you do that now? Why don't you prove to everyone who you are? Who we saw you are. And what we saw you do. Why don't you do it? Well, why didn't Jesus come down? Several of you know that answer already. As one writer explains, Jesus hung there because he continued to believe that the Father had loved him and sent him for this. And this is a point for those who follow Christ. You want to follow Jesus? Listen to this line. Our faith his faith was not proven by coming down from the cross, but by remaining on the cross as things got very tough. Your faith is not proven by something that you do, but by trusting Jesus when it even gets harder. If he had come down, he could not have finished the work that had been entrusted to him. That's why he didn't come down. And how fortunate for us he didn't come down from the cross. You see, they got it all wrong. If Jesus had saved himself, he would not have saved us. If Jesus had saved himself, he would not have saved you or me, or be known by others who still are invited to come to him. These people that railed at him, even his disciples, they thought once he died, it was over. Because what? Isn't death irreversible? 3 days of death, that's irreversible. Or is it? If you think it's difficult to accept that Jesus overcame the finality of death, well, you're in good company here today. Mary, John, Peter, and the others, they all struggled to believe what had happened. But when they saw him, they were convinced the good news was for sharing. And they were even willing to die because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive. The video we watched at the beginning, this is the good news. This is why we come here and celebrate today. Because Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, he really did overcome sin. He really does forgive. And the same power that overcame death assures us that we can trust him with our lives and with our death. And that news is for sharing. Father in heaven, I want to thank you this morning for the songs and the expressions that have allowed us to focus and celebrate on the beauty of who you are. And just as we heard prayed this morning at the sunrise service when we saw the snow, that's the symbol from Isaiah of washing our sins white as snow. There is a beautiful picture even on this Easter day. We didn't see a sunrise, but we saw the snow. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that. And I ask that we would remember with joy and confidence what you've done for us, the resurrection power and how it works in our lives. And Lord, we want to believe that you will help us in our times of trouble. Comfort us through your resurrection. Give us hope through your resurrection. Give us guidance and enablement through your resurrection power to live for and honor you. And this morning, Lord, I just ask on behalf of if there's someone here today who these words are foreign or they are knocking at the door of their heart, you invite us to come and to come and follow you and put our trust in the risen Savior Jesus. We praise you together in his name. Amen.
Well, it's good to be here this morning, and Pastor, you led right into this song, and it's talking about how Jesus willingly went to the cross for us, and because he knew that he had to go to the cross for us, but there's going to come a day that he's coming again, and he won't come the same way like he came before, which was very meek and basically just being led straight to the cross. And I just encourage you this morning to look ahead to that day that he's coming, and I trust that you know him and that you're ready for him when he does come, because he's coming back to be the King of Kings.
Like a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus never opened his mouth.
From the trial to the crucifixion, to the grave it was laid out. After 3 days in the garden tomb, I can hear the angels sing. As the Lamb came forth as the Lion, and the Lion became the King. You won't find Him again at the whipping post, standing there so mean. And He won't be nailed to a rugged cross, to His hands and through His feet. There'll never be another Calvary, 'cause He don't have to prove one thing. And the Lamb became the Lion, the Lion became the King. Live on earth a man. By most He was rejected, because He came forth as a lamb. Oh, but the day is soon approaching that every eye shall see. The Lamb, the Lion of Judah, has been crowned the King of Kings. You won't find Him again at the whipping post, standing there so mean. And He won't be nailed to the rugged cross, to His hands and through His feet. There'll never be another Calvary, 'cause He don't have to prove one thing.
And the Lamb became
the Lion became the King. You won't find Him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. And He won't be nailed to a rugged cross, through His hands and through His feet. There'll never be another Calvary, 'cause He don't have to prove one thing.
Please stand with us as I send you off with these words of benediction, but blessing, that come from God's word that are true for us today. May the God of peace, who raised to life the great shepherd of the sheep, make us ready to do His will in every good thing through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As you go today, greet one another, turn and welcome guests today, and if we have some hot cross buns still out there, eat them up. Thank you for coming, and again, rejoice that Christ is risen. Thank you.